All right. Welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting for October 18th, 2021 at 7:05 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 25th, 2021, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yeah.
Mr. Esikoff?
Almost.
All right, I'm going to mark them on this right
way.
Now.
On this way.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Hochstrom?
Here.
Mr. Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay, we have it formed.
All right, I don't have a specific report tonight. We have a lot on the agenda, so I'm going to move right to public comment on agenda items only. I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 7:07 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on an agenda item? Okay. And we'll close public comment, being no one from the public wants to speak. We'll close at 7:07 p.m. Approval of minutes. We have the regular meeting minutes of September 20th, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Seconding.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Abstain, I was out.
Mr. Esikoff is still in that line.
He's flossing.
Mr. Hamilton? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
What, yes, Joe?
Yes, that was a yes. Sorry.
Okay, minutes pass on September 20th. And we have the regular meeting minutes from October 4th, 2021. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Now, this meeting was canceled, so there were minutes, or?
Well, we opened up the meeting, so I just wanted to type that we opened up and then that the motion was made to cancel the meeting. So that, okay. That's all that's on it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes from October 4th pass. We come to correspondence. We have three letters of correspondence. We have an email from Warren Parrott, dated September 22nd, 2021, opposing a rent fee for Borough Hall on nonprofits. We have a letter from June Kellerman, dated September 23rd, 2021, regarding contracting with Millstone Fire and First Services. And we have an email from Dave Hurstrom, president of the Roosevelt Arts Project, dated October 15th, 2021, regarding the proposed Borough Hall rental fee. And everyone has a copy of these letters in your packet. Time for ordinances. We have a first reading for Ordinance 2021-06, an ordinance amending the schedule of Chapter Z zoning to increase, eliminate, and implement certain administrative fees.
A motion to adopt.
I guess we'll go right to, do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I got Bob.
Too slow, Joe.
Sorry about that.
Discussion? All right, we will have a public hearing to be held on November
5th. Wait, I have to do roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
You got, okay. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, now you okay. So the public hearing will be held on November 15th, 2021 at 7 o'clock in Borough Hall.
Okay, I just want to note that the original agenda went out stating November 1st. However, it's a zoning land use and it has to go to the planning board first. So I had to move it to November 15th meeting.
Hi, Lou. Okay. Let the record note that Councilman Esikoff has joined our meeting.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Lou.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Too bad.
Joined meeting at 7:11.
Or actually 12. Okay. All right, we come to the first reading of Ordinance 2021-07, an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, Subsection 2-57, Vital Records. Do I have a motion?
You have.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any
Did you ask for discussion?
I did.
It looks to me like it's increasing the fee for records from $5 to $20. Is that correct?
Yes.
There are some certifications, some records that sometimes people require 8 or 10 copies. Does this include that certificates, that kind of thing too?
Yeah, I think it's all vital records.
Yeah, that could be a little bit excessive, I think. It's not unusual for someone to have 8 or 10 or more copies of death certificates for insurance purposes and all kinds of things. And that could add up to several hundred dollars for somebody who's already suffering in some way, shape, or form financially or otherwise. So it might be a little... when I read it, I thought it was a little bit excessive, and I would suggest that it be amended possibly to $10.
Well, I know Anna researched what most all the other towns, surrounding towns, charge, and we did keep it lower. Most towns charge $25.
Yeah.
For a copy?
Still sounds like a lot.
For a copy?
For a copy, yeah.
Yeah.
I would suggest a flat fee for a certain amount of copies, and then after that, X dollars for another. I think that Mr. Hamilton has something there. Having experienced it, I can tell you that firsthand. That it's a bad time for somebody to load them up. This is not frivolous. This is stuff that they need, as he and I both know. I think it should be maybe whatever, $10 or if you want $20, yeah, $20 plus I have 50 cents a copy. Listen, our planning board attorney charges us for copies, 50 cents a copy for her stuff. I don't see anything wrong with that. So if you want to do 20 cents a copy plus $20 plus 5 cents a copy plus 50 cents a copy or 25 cents a copy. So listen, that machine, you're making money on 20 cents a copy, believe me. Because that copy machine.
These are certified copies. They have to be certified with a stamp, I believe.
And they're on safety paper, so you pay more for the safety paper.
Right.
So there's a special paper that comes from the state registrar's office.
Right.
So do you want to amend this now, or do you want to table this until the next meeting and discuss exactly what you think we should charge?
I would amend the motion, if I may, to read like $15 a copy. What are we getting now? $10 a copy?
$5.
$5 a copy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
$5 a certified record. It's not copy. It's printing person a certified vital statistics record that they can take and is self-authenticating with other entities and governmental entities.
I don't know what we pay for the paper. I have no idea. I would take it down to $3 a copy, maybe. Make it a little easier.
Great.
Look, we're not here to make money on this thing. That's ridiculous.
How about 25 for the first 10 copies and X amount after that?
Can I be honest, guys? It would take the clerk longer to administer a tiered system of how many vital statistics records do you give out in the borough? You don't have a hospital here. So how many are given out in a year, Kathleen?
Oh, not many. Most of them go through that EDRS system, which they get the certified copies from the funeral home or the state directly.
That's right. That's where I got mine.
Yeah. So here, it could be less than five a year.
Now the clerk administer a tiered charge system for 5 to 10 records a year. Honestly, you're just going to waste more money than the clerk figuring that out. Then you might as well just give them the record for free. I guess is my point.
That would be a nice thing too, I think, considering that we don't do too many, as you say, and it's a small town, and we're not here to gouge anybody. I think that, especially in a time like that,
yeah,
Mr. Hamilton makes a
record. That's why these are so low.
What?
We've never gouged anyone. That's why our fees are so low.
I'm in favor of that.
Well, how about a motion to table, and you can maybe administration can decide on what the fee should be.
I'll move to table.
And then for the next meeting, we can come up with
Yeah, I'll second that. I'll move. I'll second that table.
Okay, so Lou and Bob, you're going to remove your, because we had a motion to adopt.
So I will accept the motion to remove it.
Okay.
Our motion, and to table.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Now we're going to table. So I need a motion. Who's tabling it? Was that you, Lou?
I made the motion to table, Mike.
Okay, to table.
I'll second that. Bill.
Okay, and I'm going to do roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essipor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2021-07. Is tabled. I'll put it on the next agenda under old business, and if you guys have come up with a decision, if not, it will just die by the end of the year.
Do you want a list from Anna of exactly which vital records are involved in this?
No, it's just birth and death.
Birth and death, right? Or not marriage?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, marriage, birth and death.
Marriage, right? So. All right, so there's those three. So if you want to discuss it, and then at the next meeting, we can try again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have first reading of Ordinance 2021-08, an ordinance amending Chapter 5, Animal Control, Article 1, Dogs, Subsection 5-2.6, Dog License Fees. Do I have a motion to adopt? Okay, no motion?
Yes.
I'm not sure who said
that. Is that you, Lou?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay, roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essikor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. The public hearing will be held on November 1st, 2021 at 7 o'clock at the Borough Hall. Read the street, please. Yeah, oh, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey. Thank you. Resolutions. We have resolution 21-109 first, payment of bills for October 4th, 2021.
I suggest we pay our bills.
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion? All right. Being none, roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essikor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. We will pay our bills. Resolution 21-110. Resolution authorizing a fair and open process and issuance of a request for proposals for 2022 professional services within the borough. We do this every year. This is at the end of the year when we start getting our proposals from all our, the different professional services we contract out for. Do I have a motion?
I'll move 21-110.
No, I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay, roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essikor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 21-111. Awarding a state contract for the 2021 Form F-350 4x4 pickup truck. I'm sorry, the form should be Ford. I thought so, and then I thought, well, I don't know, maybe it's like, okay, it's like Ford, which I knew, but I just assumed like there must be.
Spell check. You can blame spell check for that.
So we have to, the form we have to fill out for the truck.
I'll move that motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, there were some questions about it that came up during the finance meeting and through conversations with some other council members. And some of the questions regarded whether or not we, at this point in time, we might be better off looking for a 2022 since the new models will be out. And this is almost like a leftover at this point. I know that some of the vehicles are in low supply and that they're difficult to get. This may be one of them. But that was one of the questions that came up with, was whether or not we're better off getting a newer model 1 year later or just a few months later. We could still do it out of this budget. It doesn't matter when we purchase it.
Well, I have to say that, so first of all, this truck is available. We have one that is ready to be delivered to us if we choose to you know, award the contract. And I know it's a great price. We're able to get a really good price. And also, I'm a little concerned about if we wait a few months, like, will it start snowing before that? You know, this crazy weather, who knows? But, you know, it's up to you guys.
Does our existing truck not work right now? Or
it's pretty in pretty poor condition.
What's wrong with it, you know?
It's got oil leaks. It's got all kinds of problems.
Okay.
Serious problems. But I would ask one question. When we contracted for that, I hope we did it before this shortage of automobiles for sale. Well, they're having a problem with it, if you read the newspapers.
Yeah, we know. That's why we were really lucky. Which when I say we
because right now you'll pay 25% more than you would like 3 months ago.
Well, I have to say that Anna was really on this, and that's how she was able to find a truck that is available, and she got it at a great price. I know how the prices have skyrocketed, And in addition to the fact that you can't even get them, or at least you can get them, but they don't have the chip in them, so there's no point to it. But Anna was able to secure this truck at a very good price.
It's on state contract, too.
Yeah.
So they can't.
Does that have, does it have the lift gate and all that things?
I think it does.
Yeah.
It'll have all the bells and whistles that we need.
Yeah, and the snow plow also.
Good. I'll move that motion.
Second?
We already had a first and second.
You already did that, yeah.
Okay.
I just need...
Well, is there any other discussion?
I think Joe had some questions about the purchase, too. Joe, did you want to respond?
Number one, do we have to get it this year? I understand the money budget for it and everything. The truck we have now does work. I know it's had some leaks. It's been maintained, and it'll probably work for the winter. But I don't know if we should really get one now. It seems to me if this one will make it through the winter, we'll have a much better go of it next year to get another truck once the chips are available and stuff like that. Also, this is a 350. Does that mean that it's a 3.5-ton truck? That's pretty large. How does it compare to the one that we have now? 250, I think, is what we have now. It's a 2.5, we call them. So, Steve, do you have any comment on a 350, a brand new, this year's model 350? I think we're talking a little over 41,000 or so for this also.
Joe, can I just interject that Greg Defoe does not believe that it will make it through the winter, especially if we have a rough winter. Not only that,
listen, you're pushing snow with that thing. If it's a 350, there's an advantage to that. And if we can get a good price on it, we can get it now. Let's not fool around, folks. Come on.
I don't know if you looked in your packet, but the price is $41,794, which is a phenomenal price.
I don't see any problem. Why are we doing
this? What does it normally go for?
My husband's looking for one. It's about $75,000 on the market.
I just paid $43,000 for my 2019 Ram 1500.
Okay.
So.
That's a great.
Hey, Joe?
Sure.
Going up.
The 350 isn't a 3.5-ton truck. It's much smaller. It's a little bit bigger, and I think it's good that it's bigger than the 250. The 250 will do the job, but it's minimum. So I like the 350.
You know, when you're pushing snow and you're doing all kinds of labor like that, you know, a smaller truck is not going to do you any favors.
Okay,
It's just going to break down sooner. That's all it is. Okay. My personal feeling is that.
I mean, honestly, guys, I know about trucks and trailering. So the biggest difference between 350 or the F-150 is basically the towing capacity. So if you want them to go rent a backhoe for some reason and come bring it back to town and dig something up, you won't be able to do that with a 1500, depending on the size of the backhoe they're renting from Semcor or Home Depot or whatever. Because they won't let me hook up the big excavator to my 1500. I have to bring my brother's truck there. So like the main difference is what they can tow and what they can plow. It's about that's the difference in terms of their operations.
Okay.
Also, the one person that we have in town that would be capable right now of driving it is Greg. If we're going to put in like 40-something thousand for a pickup, I believe we should have a second person that should be able to drive that. That's administration. Greg is usually not here on later in the week. He's here early in the week, but not later in the week.
All right.
So if we get a big snowstorm like on a Thursday, then he's got to get here from wherever he is. So I think we should start looking for a helper for Greg, to tell you the truth, you know. So if we're going to put this kind of...
That has nothing to do with buying the truck.
But if we're going to put this kind of money out, we should have make sure that we have people to operate it. How's that? For administration, Lou, we should consider that.
Okay.
I also wanted to say, I know I'm going to sound like I'm 100 years old, but years ago, when we actually got a lot more snow than we do today, no one cared that much about plowing. You know, the residents, they just stayed home when it snowed. It's not like that now. The residents expect the streets to be cleared quickly and perfectly. We've gotten complaints if there's just little tiny patches of snow or ice left in the street. So I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we have a truck that, you know, is in perfect working order and can do an excellent job. Well,
if you want to discuss it for a moment longer, our the person that cuts our grass, Kyle, does snow plowing, and he uses a big truck. Because he hauls a trailer with all his equipment. I have no problem discussing it with him. If he can get into town and get to it, he lives in Cranberry, which is not very far.
Well, he would use his own truck, I'm sure.
What?
If Kyle did it, he would use his own truck, I'm sure.
He could use our truck. I have no objection.
Because at this point, we should just discuss whether we buy the truck or not. So let's.
It's related to that, but I think the new truck has a lot of features that our old one really doesn't have, and they may seem like small, little, insignificant features, but they matter when you're out plowing. One of them is that you can adjust the mirror, your side view mirrors. From inside the truck. I think the way it is now, Greg has to get out of the truck. He has to adjust the side mirror. He has to get back in. When he's plowing, that can
be dangerous. I'm sure that this has it. I'll bet you that
it can be a hazard. And your visibility is everything when you're driving a plow. You want to make sure that
again. I bet he does have it in the truck.
I'm not sure he does. Plus, I think it may have things like heated mirrors and power windows. I don't think the truck that we have now has power windows.
But this new one might have it.
Well, I hope it does, and I think it's a big improvement to not have to go over to the far window and roll it down when you're plowing.
Well, listen, Greg approved the truck. He saw it. He knows what he's buying.
Yeah.
I would think that he would. He would address it himself.
Okay. When would this be delivered? When would it be delivered, and what do we do with the old truck?
The old truck could go up for auction, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I know it's available, and I know we sort of have a hold on it. Like Anna was able to get them to, you know, to convince the people to sort of hold it for us until we voted. So I don't think, I shouldn't say this because I don't know for a fact, but I think delivery wouldn't take too long.
Well, if they have the truck, if you can get it in a couple of days.
Exactly. Yeah. And they are holding it for us.
Do we have the money available?
Yes, we do. Certainly.
Yeah. It's in the budget.
We can write the check. That's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it.
And that's what the dealership is waiting for.
You know, call them up and say, get the truck ready. We're coming down next week to Monday to pick it up. And that's it. It's done.
What if they say the truck's not available until 3 months from now?
Why? It's available. They're holding it for us.
It is available.
I'm just throwing that out there.
No. It's available and they're holding it. And all we have to do is say, yes, we're coming down with a check. Give us the truck.
And I don't know what it's called in official government language, but the truck's on hold for us. It is available.
Okay. So if it's available within the month, I say we just go ahead and get it. If it's going to be beyond the month, we should think about it.
Yeah, and I'm in favor of purchasing it this time. But I think Joe's points about making sure that we have a possible second driver and snowplow operator on the days where Greg might have difficulty getting into town during a bad snowstorm is a good point, where it's a $41,000 investment. Let's make sure that we can use it when we need it.
I have someone in mind who lives in town who's interested in that position.
Yeah.
Listen, we can also call, speak, you know, we can also talk to whoever is responsible for snowstorms to hold off on them for Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Do you have a relationship with that deity?
Not on a first name basis, but I call him sir.
Good idea.
There you go. Yep.
Have a roll call.
Okay, this is for adoption. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Churchstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we will buy the truck. All right, resolution 21-112. We're going to pay bills again for October 18th, 2021.
I move that we pay the most recent bills.
Second?
Second.
That's Mr. Atwood? Yeah.
Yes.
Question? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Churchstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Where's the where is this in case?
Right here.
All right, we have a certificate of determination and award for a bond anticipation note. That's all in your that's in everyone's packet.
I'd just like to say just a quick thing about that. This is not for this is kind of to refinance mainly older debt that we have. I have to say that George Lang did a great job and so did our bank to be able to finance $1.2 million in debt at 0.34%, one third of 1% interest, which is great. So, our bank is coming through and so is, George Lang, our CFO. It enables us to cut our interest rate by more than a half for what we were paying. So and every little bit matters, and the more money it is, the more it matters. So I think it's great that we're doing things like that, yeah, refinancing when we can existing debt.
Well, you know, when you have debt that's going into the millions, then that debt becomes significant.
Yeah. We're lucky that George, he's always on top of this for us.
He's always been doing that kind of stuff. He's good at it.
Yeah. All right, come to reports of committee chairs. Council Member Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. Council Member Esikoff, Administration.
Well, you got most of what Administration. You just wiped me out. Anyway, but there is one thing I will say. We are coming up to the use of the building ordinance. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to not fool with this thing anymore. This is the best we're going to do. It is exactly what everybody wanted. Just let's do it. Rah, rah, rah.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, it's yours.
Finance report?
Yeah, we had a finance committee, and it sounds old now, but that was way back in September, September 30th. Wow.
My memory's not that good.
I know. It's a long time ago. And the main topic that we had on the agenda was to discuss the Pine Drive reconstruction project. And just to refresh the council's memory and the public who's present, we received a Department of Transportation grant for $180,000 to do road work in the section of Pine Drive between North Rochdale and Maple Court. And that $180,000 was for road work only. So the question came up, as we always want to look at this, does it make sense for us to replace the water main during that road work project? And the main question there is, do the mains here in this section of road need replacement? Joe walked into the meeting with something innocently called a coupon, which is a section of pipe that was taken out, I think, from the Maple Court work that they did there.
That one was Elm and Tamara.
Oh, Elm and Tamara, okay.
If you'd like, I can hold it up, Mike.
Well, hold it really close so people can see it. But what you'll see is a yucky, icky, rusty, cruddy.
Disgusting.
Now, it looks like one of the original 1937 bagels, but it's not. It's a section of pipe that the water runs through or was running through. And there's a lot of corrosion there, which can create, you know, problems and poor water conditions. So that's
had some loose stuff on it too.
Yeah, loose things falling off of it and all of that.
I would say there's a lot of corrosion. I would say it's completely corroded.
Yeah, again, that's a section of pipe from a different area, but it may be very similar to what the situation is on Pine Drive between North Rochester.
Let me speak on it for a second. Every pipe in town, copper, steel, cast, will have some sort of residue inside of it. This is the iron flaking that has been coming through the water system for the past 90 years. Carmela's folks call it tubercular. It is the turbulence of the water allows the sediment to just be there. It goes away a little bit when John flushes the hydrants. It's all muddy when it first comes out, and then it clears up. So the stuff that's in that pipe is 90 years worth of residue from the iron that is in the water system. And for the most part now, it's coming out of the water system because of the new filters at the water plant, and John flushes it every so often. So, but every pipe everywhere is going to have a certain amount of that in it. The beauty of it is that the pipe material itself is solid all the way around. There is a little bit of corrosion on the inside, but for 90-year-old pipes, they're in really good shape. But there is this residue in the pipes, and yes, we should replace the pipes when we have the opportunity, like when we rip the roads up. But if we do every pipe in town, it's going to cost us over $5 million. So that's something we should
report, Joe. It's not that we have cruddy, horrible pipes that yield bad, poor water. It's just that you're right. Yeah. These are old pipes, and they do often accumulate a lot of rust. And
if by chance it starts to rust and the pipe goes bad, you're ripping up a brand new road. You'll be ripping up a fairly new road and starting all over again. And I think that's counterproductive.
So that's one indication of the question, do the mains here need replacement? They could certainly benefit from it, if the pipe, the water mains on Pine look like that.
And John Holden recommended it too, by the way.
John Holden, the water plant operator, recommended replacement. The borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, who's in on this meeting tonight, she said it will improve water quality, make it easier to access the system.
And emergency pipe repairs are extremely expensive.
Yeah, they are. And touch wood when you say that, Peggy, because we're entering the winter season and we haven't had any water main breaks in a while, which is great. The second question related to this is, can we afford the cost? The cost is substantial. It's $240,000 for the water mains and $32,000 approximately for engineering fees. And that's not covered in that grant. So we would have to take out loans, iBank loans probably, or some kind of loans. But the good news is we're at the lowest rate in decades for financing. Often the financing is at 1% or below that we can get with some of the blended financing that we get through the state.
We're talking about financing almost like cash.
Yeah, almost. It's pretty low. It's not going to stay that way, but it is low now. Related to whether or not we can afford the cost, the sewer treatment plant loan that we got probably back in the 90s, that'll be paid off in 2022. That'll free up about 30-some thousand in payments that we make. So there's a little more room. There will be a little more room in the budget when we do have to start paying for this if we move ahead with the replacement of the water mains there.
We'll get some more wiggle, what they call wiggle room.
Yeah. The committee expressed concern that if we continue to replace a lot of water mains in town, that's kind of the direction that we're headed, it can cost as much as $5 million total as we replace all the water mains or the ones that really need to be replaced. And the overall debt load will go up in the future. It's not going to remain stable. Also, we have some other costs looming. The cost of trickling filters at the sewer treatment plant. We're looking at about $1 million in debt.
Mike, you got garbled for a second. How much?
We're looking at about $1 million in debt for replacing the trickling filters. That's a ballpark estimate.
Also, input to the sewer plant itself has to be replaced. The pipe coming in that's in the swamp there. So probably $1 million, $1.5 million we're looking at over the next year or so, maybe 2 years, to deal with problems at the sewer plant. So I'm just saying, as we're replacing water mains, we should be aware that it will add up. That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, so we're saying that, we realize we're going to be adding debt in the future, even if it's at a low rate, it still needs to be paid off. The principal needs to be paid off, and it could result in increasing costs over time. So just, when we recommend replacement, we do it very soberly, and we really look at all the factors involved in it. But our job is really to maintain the town. This is what we do. This is what we've been doing. And I think we've been effective at improving water quality by replacing the components that need replacing, not just sticking them together with sticky tape, glue, wire ties, and baling wire.
Yep.
We replace it, and we follow the engineers and our professionals' recommendations on it. So,
Mike, do we know what these costs will, how this will impact, you know, everybody's water bill, which is like one of the most popular questions that I get from people?
Yeah, well, that depends on how well all the other costs that are in that water sewer budget are controlled. I mean, if costs go up in other areas of the water sewer utility budget and our debt load goes up, yeah, rates are going to go up. But if we're able to continue to control costs and all, they may not go up as much. It's hard to get it to really pin down an answer to that. It's like anybody else's budget.
Right, right.
But like, Bob, it's as if you decided you really needed to replace your roof. And you're looking at it and saying, geez, that's going to cost $10,000. We'll be okay with that as long as the car doesn't go, as long as something else bad doesn't happen and it costs us a lot of money. Yeah, we can afford it. And this is a little bit like that. I mean, it's a tight budget, that water sewer utility budget, and it's only fees that go into it, water tower fees from the cell carriers and user fees. And we certainly don't want the user fees to go up. We've held the line pretty constant for probably five or more years now. We haven't raised rates because actually we've been able, through good management and all, to keep the costs pretty low.
I know.
How much have we ballpark saved in the last couple of years with our new water operators?
Can I answer a little bit of this also? Since John and Mike have been on board, we are saving approximately $70,000 from the old budget per year. So that's good wiggle room there. And if 2 years from now, we don't have to pay the additional $30,000 for the farmer's loan that goes back to 1990, then we're looking pretty good. But again, we have to put $1 million, maybe $1.5 million into the sewer plant. And I'll just sneak into my report here. I'm going to speak with Mike Lyons, and I want to have a public meeting at the sewer plant. We did this last year. We should do it again this year and get an idea of what will happen to the sewer plant. Again, for that $1 million, $1.5 million, to all of the regulations that exist. So when I look at replacing all the water mains in town for another $5 million, then the rates are really going to go up. So as we approach replacing the water lines, we have to make sure we don't get rid of our refrigerator just to make sure the car works, because if the car works, we can't put if it doesn't work, then we can't put anything in the refrigerator. We just have to be aware of everything as we're going along. If people didn't see that pipe that Peggy was showing there, people would think we have great water, and we do have great water. So it's a matter of how great it wants to be. If it's 95% perfect now and you want it to be 100% perfect, let's rip all the pipes up and put like $5 million into it. I'm just saying we should be aware of what's coming down the pike. I want to know what we're going to be spending up to 10 years from now, as opposed to what we're just spending this year. So far we're hanging in there. We're doing well. We have great water. The sewer lines work and everything. We will have to put money into the sewer system. And after this vote here, we'll be putting more water into the more money into the water system.
Well, just to add, just to finish on one semi-positive note from my report, there may be money, federal money, possibly, who knows, depends on the federal government, for some of that sewer treatment plant or water infrastructure improvements that we do in the future. I don't know what programs are going to come on board, but I know Mike at the sewer treatment plant is looking into it, and I know Carmela will probably look into it too, our borough engineer. So there is possibility of grants or low or no interest loans or some sort of help for some of that infrastructure work in the future. But yeah, we have to look at everything very soberly. We're a small town. We can't increase the amount of houses and payees that are in our system right now. So we just have to really control costs.
No, and I'll tell you something. When you look around, if you were, not that it makes it it's less expensive for us, but the towns around that have public utilities, like East Windsor and Hightstown, you're paying a lot of money for the water. They're paying a lot of money for water and sewer too, comparable to ours. So we're still being competitive.
And they're not necessarily doing all the work that we are moving forward. If you look at the roads in East Windsor, I do travel those roads.
Yeah.
A lot of them are in very, very poor condition. So I'm not sure that they're doing the road work that we are or the infrastructure improvements that we are doing here.
Well, they're doing a lot of paving, so they may be doing it. You never know.
But I think we do need to be careful about the money and controlling that budget.
Yeah, no question, but at least, in terms of value for housing, housing costs or what have you, you're competitive with the local area. So
yeah,
there you are.
So the bottom line is the committee recommends that we move ahead with water main replacement in that
section drive
along with the road work.
And along with that, I don't think we're going to have to raise any water sewer fees for this coming year. I think we're okay. We just have to be aware of what's going on. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. End of report.
Called I Told You So.
Thank you. Okay, Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Nothing to report.
Councilmember Maher, Public Works.
Nothing to report right now.
And
Well, I just said we got water's coming in nice, water's going out nice. We're going to speak with Mike Lyons about a public meeting, and I would like for people to come. We'll stand outside and just really look at the place and figure out where it's going. Are we going to have a private meeting later?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. End of report.
Okay. We've come to unfinished business. So the first item we've pretty much covered by the committee reports, which is the NJDOT Municipal Aid Program for improvements to Pine Drive between North Rochdale Avenue and Maple Court regarding engineering fees for roadway improvements and water main improvements. Does anyone have anything they might want to add to this? I think it was just covered pretty adequately in the reports. All right, and
so if that's the case, I could have a resolution on the next meeting,
right,
to award for Roberts Engineering to move forward. Is everyone in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to do that because of the timelines involved. Yeah,
it's getting a little close. Getting close now.
Okay, so I'll put that on the 11-1
agenda. All right, the second item is, Borough Hall rental fee.
Okay.
Start off with the discussion.
Well, I told you.
Right.
Here it is. You've read it. You know what it is. The community was concerned about the cost of the charging people in the community for the rental of the we are no longer charging rental for anybody who lives in the community, but we are expecting a $300 escrow fee that will be returned when they leave, and if they leave it in good condition. If not, we'll take whatever it costs from the $300 and return whatever is left over for cleaning and repairing if there's any damage. As far as outside people, if anybody from out of town wants to rent the building, it'll be $150 plus the $300 returnable fee.
And the borough council has to approve of these outside people, correct?
Well, we always have, no matter who.
There we are, yeah.
No matter who wants to use the borough hall, whether it's in town, out of town, private, non-profit.
We approve all use of the building.
Okay. Now, I just have one thing to throw in there. So if I die, I'm not living in town here anymore. So if my daughter wants to have a little affair at borough hall, does she have to pay $150 for it?
I say no.
Well, then the council, there should be something in here that the council can override that $150.
You guys can do that for any fee, any ordinance-based fee that's not requested. For example, for nonprofits, you can waive your municipal fees, but you can't waive the state UCC construction fees. So anything that's a municipal fee, you can waive by resolution of the governing body. There's some fees you can't, except by the state and such. But.
I'll let my daughter know, and then she'll have to fight it out with the council. Then. So, okay.
Well, can you say current and past residents?
He's a past resident, but he can't pay it when he's in a grave. So.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way to do it is have their property tax record or their lease or whatever. I mean, you can do special cases for anything. We waive fees for other things, for events.
If they have to come to the council for approval, we know what we have to do and we do it. That's it. We waive it right there and then. It's done. Make it easy. And we do it on a one-on-one basis.
So the council can override.
Pardon me?
The council can override.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what Mr.
There were a lot of questions about this in terms of what's considered a community based group. Does it have to be a community that's established and in town, or can somebody come in and say, you know, I have the Roosevelt chapter of the Proud Boys and you know, I want to have a big meeting over in Borough Hall. And that's a community, is that a community group? I think we're getting into some tricky things here with
the council can still.
I just want to take one step back if I might be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I think we need to redefine the problem. It's not an under unfinished business. It shouldn't be Borough Hall rental fee. It should be how do we maintain Borough Hall in a clean and safe condition after it's used? That's the question. And for some reason, we tended, I think, to put the cart before the horse.
No.
We said, wow, well, here's the solution.
We have,
let's talk about the solution to it.
Mr. Hamilton, hold on. Just a minute.
No, hold on. I have the floor. So let me just finish. And then you can, Lou. I just think that there's a lot of ways to ensure that community groups maintain the Borough Hall and other facilities. It's not just Borough Hall. If somebody wants to use the monument, the amphitheater, we need to have some sort of regulation concerning that too. But, you know, if the community group wants to maintain Borough Hall, there's a lot of things that we can do to make sure that it's kept in a clean and safe condition. We can provide cleaning supplies in a good location. There's all kinds of ways to approach this problem, but I think we need to backtrack just a little bit and look at the definition of the problem. The problem is some community groups come in and the facility may not be up to par in the way that we expect it to be returned. So how do we deal with that? There's a lot of things that go into that, not just a fee. Theoretically, a community group could say, oh, you know, so let them clean it. I don't care about the fee. We don't want that either. I'm not sure.
We won't know that until it's done.
Yeah, I'm just not sure this is the only solution here, the only way to approach it.
By the way, if the Proud Boys came and you came and it comes to the council for approval, they're not getting my vote. I'm telling you right now.
Well, we'd have to talk to the borough attorney about whether or not we could refuse groups like that, too.
It's our building. I think it's our building. We can
building belongs to the public.
What?
The building belongs to the public. So if the Proud Boys had a registered chapter in Roosevelt and they want to come and rent it and the ordinance that's there, you'd be very hard pressed to deny them based on any objection to their views.
How about the fact that they could have a big problem? We could have a rowdy reasons.
That's not their views.
Pardon me?
That's security reasons. That's not necessarily their views, but I mean, you're opening the town hall to everybody with basically no fee who lives in the town.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Anything.
I won't vote for it anyway.
Okay. Now we're not voting on this tonight, or are we?
We're going to, I thought.
I think we are. I think we're in the first hearing. Aren't we voting for it?
If you want to vote, someone would have to make a motion to.
I'll do that. Done.
As it stands, but I would have to read it in full if you get a second and you want to proceed.
Yeah, my only concern is what Mike said was, who is responsible for the cleaning supplies? You know, I think, you know, Rapp or other people that I know were happy to clean the after themselves, you know, after an event. But I think the last time we had an event, there wasn't anything there. You know, we used our own paper towels, whatever we used to clean. There was nothing readily available. So will Borough Hall have supplies readily available to groups so that we can clean up after, or are we supposed to bring in our own?
We have no supplies here because we do have a janitorial service that comes in once a week.
Okay.
So we don't have any supplies here at all.
All right. So you're asking each group then to bring their own supplies.
Right. Bring it from home.
Okay. Just so I can tell them, for me personally, so I can go to RAP and let them know.
RAP has cleaning supplies that they provide, is there a place in the Borough Hall they can put it so you don't have to pass it around to everyone?
No, you take it back with you.
There's very little storage in that place.
Storage
Well, no, you take it back when you leave. It's yours. It's not ours.
Yeah.
You take it and you bring it back. And if the next time there's cleaning to be done, you bring it back and clean and take it with you again.
We're not
talking a truck full of cleaning material. We're talking, you know, a handful of things.
Yeah, no, that's fine. As long as we know to have that ready when we have an event, then we know.
Well, I'm sure there's room in Borough Hall somewhere to keep some supplies. So, but this goes back, like Mike said, a step backwards. It's, you know, maybe we're making too much out of this. It's really just a matter of keeping the place. The thing is, 5 years ago, the place was a mess and there was no place. There's no way to really clean it. Now it's a clean, well-lit place. Then all we want to do is maintain it is what it comes down to. So, you know.
This was always cleanliness. It was always, from the beginning, dealing with the kitchen and the bathroom. That was always
mostly.
Never to upset anyone or defend or upset anyone or offend anyone, or it was strictly that the bathroom and kitchen were left in pretty deplorable condition after most events, and we realized that it had to be addressed. So it's always the crux of this, the foundation was always cleanliness.
And if something, you know, if something falls on the floor and you know, it has to in the big room, and it has to be cleaned up. That's all.
I think to Mike's point about if a group is like, well, I'm not going to clean it, and I'm going to let them keep my money. I think that may happen, but if that group then wants to reuse the hall again, I think then we can have a legitimate reason to say, well, no, you left the hall in a mess, and we're not going to approve you for another event.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you get a track record like that, we won't approve you.
Okay. So how do you want to go forward with this? Do you want to approve? Do you want to?
I would like to make a motion that we approve it as written.
Put a resolution for the next thing. Then the public can have it.
Oh.
What? What do you want to do?
I'd say we put it in the form of a resolution. Is it in resolution form now? I see a draft here with the big red letters on it.
It's not a motion. So, it's not a resolution.
An ordinance. An ordinance. Right. So.
I make a move. What's the number on the ordinance?
Does not have one.
But it would be 2021-09.
What is it again? 2021-09?
Correct.
I make that motion to approve 2021-09.
Well, this would be the first reading of this draft, I assume?
That's correct.
Right. So I first would need a motion to amend the agenda to add this ordinance on for introduction.
You have that.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay, I'm going to do roll call to amend the agenda. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Herrstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
This is the first reading, and there will be another reading the next meeting.
What I just did is to amend the agenda to add the ordinance on, and then we'll go the next step to another motion. So this is just to amend the agenda.
So it's amending the agenda is all it is. It's not voting on this ordinance.
Not right now, in about 5 minutes, but right now it's just amending the agenda.
So if we amend the agenda and this will come up next as the first reading for the ordinance?
Correct.
So then there will be another reading and a public discussion subsequent to this.
Correct.
Okay. I'll say yes. Just to put it on the agenda for now. Yes.
Okay. So now, since it's not on, it's on the agenda now, but it wasn't publicly sent out, I have to read the ordinance. Are you going to get to see me?
Hello, darling.
So, Ordinance 2021-09, introduction date is 10/18/21. The title is an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, creating a new subsection 2-59, Borough Hall Rental. Whereas the Borough of Roosevelt, parentheses, the Borough, as a municipal corporation, is empowered by Title 40 of the New Jersey Revised Statutes to issue and administer certain licenses and approvals and to regulate and license certain activities within its limits. And whereas the borough charges certain fees for the provisions of municipal services and the administration of its duties under New Jersey law and the borough code. And whereas from time to time, pursuant to its authority under New Jersey law, it is necessary for the borough to amend certain administrative fees to reflect changed circumstances and or the cost to the borough of administering the applicable service or regulation. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the governing body of the borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, hereby amends Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, creating a new subsection 2-59 as follows. Stricken text indicates deletions, underlined text indicates additions. This is all underlined. Chapter 2-59, Borough Hall Rental. A, availability. The Borough Hall Council Meeting Room, together with its kitchen and restroom, shall be available for event rental at such times as may be designated and upon such conditions as may be imposed by the borough in its sole discretion. B, rental application. Any person or entity seeking to schedule an event rental shall make such request upon an application to be provided by the borough, which shall be accompanied by the security deposit and, if applicable, the rental fee. All applications must be approved by the borough council prior to the requested event date. All applicants shall make application at least 7 business days before the regularly scheduled borough council meeting immediately prior to the requested event date. C, security deposit. All applications shall be accompanied by a refundable security deposit in the amount of $300. The borough shall have the right to retain the security deposit and charge the applicant for any sum in excess of the deposit to clean, repair, and or restore the premises to its original condition, including cleaning and sanitizing the borough hall, council meeting room, and its attendant kitchen and restrooms following the event. D, rental fee. All Roosevelt residents and Roosevelt-based community organizations shall be exempt from the rental fee. All other applications shall be submitted with a non-refundable rental fee in the amount of $150 to cover the borough's administrative and janitorial costs. Be it further ordained that a copy of this ordinance upon introduction shall be provided to all the appropriate municipal agencies for their review and comment pursuant to applicable New Jersey statutes. And be it further ordained that any ordinances or portions thereof which are inconsistent with the provision of this ordinance are hereby repealed as of the effective date of this ordinance. All other provisions of the revised general ordinances are ratified and remain in full force and effect. And be it further ordained that if any provision of this ordinance or the application of such provision to any person or circumstances is declared invalid, invalidity shall not affect the other provisions of applications of this ordinance, which can be given effect. And to this end, the provision of this ordinance are declared to be serviceable. And be it further ordained that this ordinance shall be in full force and take effect immediately upon the final passage and publication.
So moved.
So I would need a motion to adopt on first reading.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, I'm going to do roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
I abstain due to a conflict.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Do I need to abstain?
I think so.
Yes, I'll abstain.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
There will be a second reading.
Come on.
They all have public hearings. Yes, there'll be a second reading. Ordinances require two.
Okay, my tendency is to abstain, but I'll say yes.
Hooray.
Okay, so the public hearing to be held on November 1st, 2021 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey. So that's when it's going to be on for a public hearing and second reading. Okay?
Yep.
Connie, so you had still four votes.
But Bob, aren't you on RAP?
I am. I wasn't sure. There was some discussion back and forth about whether, because there's no monetary gain, that I didn't have to abstain, but I guess I'm not sure.
Greg, we had Mike abstain and Connie abstain, and so.
But this is not for RAP. This is the borough.
Right, it's not necessary.
But isn't that why Mike and Connie abstain?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is why I abstain. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily for RAP, so I.
Right, I understand that. I just wanted it to be balanced. Like if Mike and
that's Connie interesting. It's not
isn't that
specific to RAP. It's a borough ordinance.
If I'm supposed to abstain, then I will. I'm clear.
I'm only trying to clarify.
It's a general fee ordinance. There's not. It's not a legal conflict as we previously discussed.
So actually, Mike and Connie could have voted.
Yeah, but I don't
tell people how to vote here, so it's up to them.
But just to clarify, I feel that there's a conflict because on one hand, I would like to see the borough's facilities be kept clean, and this is one possible way of doing it. On the other hand, I am a member of RAP and other community organizations, and I think that the fees can be excessive, that creates an internal conflict in my mind. It's a personal choice that I had to make too.
Mr. Hamilton, there is no fee for people for organizations in the borough, so they can't be excessive.
Well, I know, but it is influencing my vote on it, the fact that I am a member of RAP.
You know, you have every right to vote any way you like.
I wasn't questioning
it. You're voting it on the wrong basis.
Yeah, I wasn't questioning your abstention, Mike or Connie. I just wondered if, since Bob's was probably for the same reason.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Cannon explained it very, very succinctly.
I felt it was okay to vote, but if not, I can.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to make sure that legally.
Yes, I understand.
Then I would vote yes.
Okay.
Well, I can't.
Instead of abstaining.
Okay, so as Kathleen said, the second reading will be on November 1st, 2021 at the Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale Avenue.
Amen.
Our last item of unfinished business is use of the Borough Hall by RAP for Jacob Landell Stained Glass Windows event on December 1st, 2021. No, December 4th. Yeah, 4th. I'm sorry. December 4th. If you come on the 1st, the stained glass discussion won't be here. From 8 to 10 p.m.
Motion for discussion.
Discussion or approval?
Approval, yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, I'm on, no.
You're going to have the actual stained glass here? That would be nice. Okay, roll call. Do we need roll call? I guess we do.
Mr. Avlin?
Yes.
Now, Greg, since he's a member of RAP, can he vote on this?
Oh.
We all have it.
I know, but now. Yeah. It's...
Oh, if I, I'll defer to the lawyer.
Yeah, I would say they abstain given all that's going on.
Okay.
That specifically affects Rat.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
I abstain.
Mr. Etzikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Abstain.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye. Yes.
Yes, so I have a tie, 3-3.
Do we just include the mayor's vote? I mean,
that's right. I'm sorry. The
abstentions are out.
Sorry.
Well, there's all kinds of case on what abstentions mean. So let's record the mayor's vote just for posterity in case it becomes important.
Okay. Mayor Malkin, yes.
Oh.
Okay, so it passes.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss? Bring up? Right.
Yeah. Well, is there a place on the agenda for reports on the Environmental Commission rep from the council to the Environmental Commission? I didn't notice any place on the agenda for committee reports.
You know what? It used to be on, and I think because we never really had any reports, somehow or other, it disappeared.
Well, Michael. Because Michael used to attend and he'd give you a report.
So,
he's not here tonight.
I'm here.
How are you? Okay. How are you, Michael?
The representative or something?
Yeah. All right, well, we can make sure it's on for the next time, but for tonight, is either of the mics want to make an environmental report?
Yeah, I did because I think it's interesting and it has to do with some of the water-related issues that we're having. We had a meeting on the 22nd of September, and there was a presentation by the Watershed Institute, which was, I think, very interesting. And the Watershed Institute looked at 16 towns in our area and did basically a water study of impervious coverage, stormwater runoff in the 16 towns and properties that contribute to runoff. And then they came up with recommendations for each town for best management practices related to stormwater management. One of the things that they said is there's larger storm events now, heavier downpours. We all know about this from firsthand knowledge here. And a healthy watershed should have about 50% of the rain should be able to go right directly into the ground. Half of the water that comes out should go directly into the ground. If 75 to 100% impervious cover, if there's 75 to 100% impervious cover, which I guess some big cities and larger towns have, only 15% of the water goes back into the ground to recharge the aquifer. All the remaining water becomes runoff, full of everything that runoff contains. And so it's full of pollutants, it's problematic. One of the key things here is that we are in the headwaters of two watersheds. That's a very crucial location because we are at the beginning of these watersheds. And so what happens here affects everybody downstream from both ends of the watershed. We have about 33% of our coverage is wetlands in the town by area. 19% is agriculture. 28% is forest, and only 20% is what they consider urban, which includes houses, streets, driveways, that kind of thing. We have only 4.69% impervious coverage. That's the second lowest of all the 15 towns.
Who's lower than we are?
West Amwell.
Okay.
they have a lot of farmland out there, I think. Yeah, they preserved a lot of farmland a long time ago. You know, it sounds like a lot. We have 74.2 million gallons of runoff per year in Roosevelt. But they said that's really low. So it gives you an idea of how much actual runoff water there is when it rains. It was noted that Empty Bucks Creek has a C1 status, which is the most protected and most environmentally sensitive wetlands. It's a pristine wetland environment. And they said, we applaud Roosevelt for not only what we've done for preserving farmland and keeping the impervious coverage low, but for our enhanced tree protections too. They applauded us for that, for specifically for Ordinance 2020-08, which we all know some people don't care about it and they do whatever they want, and other people do care about it. They recommended some ordinance revisions, which I think were very interesting. They, in terms of stream corridor management and protection, they said that we need an ordinance mandating the C1 area to have a 300-foot buffer. They also suggested we change the 50-foot buffer zones on our, in our wetland areas to 150-foot buffer. That apparently we can do that in a stormwater management ordinance. Because 150-foot buffer is really necessary in any area that's near all the headwaters. So they recommend it, and the planning board may want to look at that too, to go back and look at that. So we're super important in this crucial area where there's two headwater areas. They made some recommendations about our tree ordinance too. One of the things that they said was Princeton has a tree ordinance and they're working with a Millstone on one too. I didn't know that, but where in Princeton, a contractor must register with the town to do any kind of work there. So they have to first go to Borough Hall if they want to do anything with any trees, and they have to register with the town and they're given a copy of the tree ordinance.
Can I ask a question, Mike?
Yeah.
You know, lately we have tree contractors who just come into town and begin work without ever coming here. So how is that prevented?
Well, we did have the idea, and I know that you and I discussed it, or we had some text exchanges on it, that that we need to do some postings with some signs that say that there's a tree ordinance in effect, that you have to get a permit, you have to go to Borough Hall if you want to remove trees and get a permit. So they could be notified in that way. If there's signs at key locations, they would be noticed in that way. They also, just to get off of that a little bit, they applauded our stream monitoring movement that I know Mary and Rod and other people have been doing a lot of work in terms of stream monitoring for pollutants, counting microinvertebrates, everything that they do. They said that that's really crucial work to make sure that, that we're monitoring the conditions of our wetland areas. So they had very interesting things to say. They talked about specific locations in town, what could be done to limit the runoff. One of them was action packaging. They recommended a rain garden in the area behind it where it tends to flood. I guess it's back beyond the loading dock, kind of back in that area. So that would enable the water to perk through the ground a lot better. But we don't have too many areas where there's a lot of runoff. But I thought it was an interesting report, because a lot of what we're discussing these days are water-related problems, whether it's with flooding in the garage or flooding on homeowners' properties or, you know, I mean, it's just there's a lot of water coming down from the heavens. And Lou, I hope you can talk to that guy that you know up there. And
yeah, I will.
If you could. But anyhow, very interesting studies, and they
no
were
more
very
water and less water.
Wait, can you just repeat the percentages for Roosevelt? Like what percentage is water, what percentage is agriculture, what percentage is urban?
Yeah, let me get back to that, Mayor. 33% of our area is wetlands. One third.
Yeah.
One third wetlands.
I mean, we all know that. We have damp houses, but.
Right. 19% agriculture. So all that preserved farmland that we have, that's the agricultural components. 28% forest. So,
that's pretty good.
And only 20% urban. So there's a lot of things to suck up all that water. You know, the wetlands act as a sponge and the trees do a good job. And so 4.69% impervious coverage. And that's really, I think, very, very low. So
that's why we all have mold.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, that's really the main thing that was discussed during the Environmental Commission, unless Michael has anything to add, but I thought it was very interesting.
You summarized it very well. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, Mike, so this should be done rather quickly, right? Or
yeah, we should look at revising our ordinances, and we do have our borough engineer waiting very patiently, I might add, online, and I think we ought to move ahead, and maybe she has something to add on that too. End of report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to open the public comment for any item at all. Open to the public at 8:33 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who has anything that they would like to comment upon? All right, I'm going to close public comment at 8:34. Counselor, you need a closed session?
Yes, to discuss a private property issue with the borough engineer.
All right, so I have resolution number 21-113, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Do I have a motion to
go into private?
Adopt, yeah, this resolution?
You do.
And a second?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Atwood. Now I'm going to read it. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof, from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters potential litigation, contractual, private property drainage, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required on this matter. So I'm going to do a roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremell?
Yes.
Okay, so the resolution has been read. I need...
okay.
All right, we're out of executive session at 9:39. Any other items to discuss?
Yes. I'd like to ask Carmela about the water in the garage. My question is very simple, really. If we don't know where that water is really coming from, why what we're doing now is not remedying the cause of the water, we're remedying the effect of the water by using a sump pump and a French drain or whatever you want to call it. I would like to know before we invest too much money into this thing, where do we have, can we find out definitively where the water is coming from? Because you're telling us, I think, that it's groundwater, and Greg Defoe is saying that a lot of it coming off the, coming, seeping through the wall.
That's where it's coming from. Can we just dig the side of the wall out there and just let it drain naturally? Nice and full of shovel.
Hello?
Carmela, I think he was asking you that question.
Let me. Okay. So that area has groundwater, high groundwater, and there's water that comes down the slope behind the hill. And that situation has been since you installed the garage. And in addition, you haven't had good downspouts and gutters for a long time. So up until these recent improvements you made, water has just been accumulating around your garage. And the concrete block in your walls has gotten porous. So where's the water coming from? It's coming from groundwater, and it's coming from that slope in the back. And trying to find the origination or move that water, it's just not practical at this point. So I do think you're in the situation of how to intercept the water and keep it away from your garage before it can get in and do damage.
Right.
And I believe the cost estimate and the scope that you got from the contractor is to put a French drain in, and there is a couple of feet of a waterproofing, a surface application inside the garage that will prevent water from coming in, and it's just going to stay in that French drain area. It will be either, depending on what you do, discharged by a gravity pipe or by a pump. There's no way to make those walls not porous anymore, short of encapsulating them somehow or replacing them. That's too expensive to do that. Mm-hmm. And you are just in a location where groundwater is high. And you even know that from your own Borough Hall itself.
Okay.
So at Borough Hall, you know, what we did at Borough Hall was capture the water off of the roof, just pipe it away from you, change the lay of the land in the backyard, and keep the water away from the building.
We did that.
We're doing something very well. You want to do something similar at the garage, where you capture the water and you keep it away in other locations.
Okay. Thank you. I understand now. Appreciate. Okay.
Anyone else have anything they'd like to ask Carmela? We have her right here with us.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, personally, on the garage, I think we should just dig the whole side out, and put some sealant on the outside there. But that's.
I agree with that, and then have the French drains. Maybe that'll do the trick.
Well, that's in a sense a French. I would say we should conclude the meeting.
Before you do, you know, I just want to tell you that, you know, most of Roosevelt houses have French drains all around them.
Yeah, my house, where I grew up in Plumstead, we put a French drain in 1956, and it's been dry ever since, an exterior French drain.
Right, so, that's what we have at the Roosevelt houses, the French drains. They were put in when they built the project.
Certainly.
1937 or whenever it was.
Okay.
Joe's suggestion feasible?
What do I know?
And the meeting?
Joe's suggestion is difficult because of the location of the generator and the other pipes in that area. So it might be feasible, but it will be expensive also. Very and difficult on a certain length of the garage wall.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Okay. Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
I like that name.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, our next meeting is November 1st. See everyone then.
All right. We're out at 9:45.
Good night.
See you around again.
Bye-bye. Good night, folks.
Good night. All right. Good night. Good night.